to the Good Grief Conversation. I'm your host, Janet Jones, and you're listening to UK Health Radio. This programme brings you honest, gritty, emotional and inspiring conversation around a subject that affects all of us, yet is still very much taboo. So join me now for this inspiring Good Grief Conversation. And welcome to the Good Grief Conversation. First of all, if you find yourself in need of this audio right now and you're in a very challenging space, you have my heartfelt love and strength coming your way. A few months ago when I lost my son, almost a year in fact, I was really struggling with receiving because I'm naturally a giver. But I had to put my giving down because I actually didn't have anything to give. So I was in the state of receiving. And what I'm bringing you today are two people who reached out to me and offered their help and their service and their friendship. And it was all about self-care. In fact, I had a friend of mine say to me that my full-time job now is, in fact, self-care, because you must build your strength back up, both in your mind and your body and your spirit, in order to start to piece your life back together. And you will piece your life back together, I promise you. So today I want to share with you these two very special people. Now the first guy is Dave Kane, and Dave is a yoga instructor. I've been going to Dave for a number of years, and then when he saw my post on Facebook of what had happened in my life, then he very generously reached out to me and suggested that I go to his yoga classes for no fee, because he didn't want money to get in the way, because he knew how much yoga would help me. And in this interview, he explains exactly why yoga will help you. So it's my great pleasure to bring to you the very lovely Dave Kane. So, hi Dave, thank you for joining me today on the Good Grief Conversation. And I'm doing a little podcast today about self-care. Before we sort of dive into that, I'd just like to know, what brought you into the area of yoga and concentrating on the breath? What was it that kind of made you go down that route for your own kind of personal health, I suppose?
I'd split up from my long-term ex-partner, and we'd lived together and stuff like this. And then, yeah, we broke up. And it was just a really difficult time. And then, so I was kind of living by myself. And this was I was living in Leeds. I was kind of in quite a sort of, I guess, reckless mindset. I was working in a job that wasn't very happy in. And then I was kind of just going out on the weekends and getting hammered, and kind of looking back on it now, like, not a healthy place at all, like really unhealthy. So, you know, continued in this cycle for a while, and then I really needed to get myself out of that cycle. So I thought, right, well, I'm going to do something, you know, that I've never done before to remove myself from this, you know, situation. And I felt as though I really did need to do something drastic. So I kind of went backpacking, and this was at age 33 or something like that. I just went backpacking around Southeast Asia. In Thailand, I went to a place called The Sanctuary in Koh Phangan, which is a kind of health and wellness retreat on an island on this beautiful, beautiful beach. Yeah, so I was there for 10 days. We were doing like meditation. There was people there who were doing like 10-day fasts. You know, it's a really idyllic. And so I discovered it there. So I've been to India a lot and studied. So I've learned the traditional method, and it's been 11 years now that I've been practicing every day, yeah, like 6 days a week.
So in a way, it was grief that took you on that journey in the first place, because you know, grief comes in any situation of loss in our lives, as grief is attached to that. So you found, I guess, that inner peace by going on your yoga journey. Would that be right?
Definitely. Yeah, I think it was to you know, trying to come to terms with, as you say, the loss of a relationship, on your identity within a couple and all of that sort of thing. And and it was definitely then something missing that I was trying to fill. And then yoga definitely was something that focused my attention. And then also the fact that when you do a practice, you know, a yoga practice or a breathing practice or a meditation practice, it brings you into the present moment. And that's the whole point of the practice. It's like, you know, so if you have experienced grief or loss or breakup or something traumatic, you know, we start to live in our heads. So like the kind of fight or flight takes over, and then the anxiety rises, and you're just always in your head and you can't get out of the fact of you feel terrible or, you know, all of this stuff. And then when you do something like yoga, it is something that can center you, brings you into your body, it brings you into the present moment, and that can be a little break for you from your day-to-day, you know, drudgery of the difficult time of your life, I think, today.
Yes, yeah. I mean, you very kindly reached out to me when you saw my news. What was it that made you, you know, think at that time to do that, you know?
Well, obviously, you know, I'd known you whenever you were coming to class with me when I first started teaching in Brinkhouse. And then I saw, you know, the just shockingly sad news about your son. And I was like, really floored by it. I just couldn't imagine, because I'm a parent of young kids myself. And it was just really, just couldn't imagine it at all. It was so horrendous. And then I kind of thought, one of the interesting things that I thought was you were publicly then sharing what you were experiencing, which I thought was like very, very brave to do. But obviously, you know, I know from your kind of background in your health and the Happiness Millionaire stuff and all this, it's always very positivity and sharing and all these sorts of things. And then for to go full circle for you and have to experience and come through, and obviously still come through what you have had to deal with the loss of your son, was just like, wow. And I kind of thought, oh, I wonder what, because you're local and I know you, I was like, well, I'll just offer you to come to class for free. Just, you know, it was just like, why don't you come to class, and maybe it'll be that, you know, it'll be a little break, the probably, you know, constant hell that you were going through.
And it was a really great help. And as you know, there were times I couldn't make it. There were times I would get to the car park and then drive home. But I think even just knowing that offer was there, that was given with such kindness, that it was just like, okay, someone's reached out to me, I can go to that. And that's what I think is really important, when people reach out to those who are suffering, that when you are in that suffering space, you feel safe in order to connect with the person who's reached out with kindness, because there's no ulterior motive. There was nothing in that except for you supporting me. And it did help. You know, I mean, even sometimes doing yoga in the early stages is very difficult to actually calm your mind and your heart as much as anything, because your mind and your heart are going like crazy. But just bit by bit, it did start to have an effect. And it is something to do over time, that, you know, I'm sure that was what you discovered on your journey. You know, just one yoga class isn't really going to do anything, but to just that consistency, keep going. And it's all the drops in the ocean, really, isn't it? You know, if you just keep butting them in.
Yeah, that's it, exactly. And that's a really good point. It is like, you know, one or two classes here and there obviously are great and can be of you know, of massive benefit. But, you know, this practice has literally transformed my life. Like I'm a completely, completely different person because of it.
What is it about the either stretching or breathing? What's it doing to us as a human being?
Well, it's the mind-body connection, and really the aim of yoga, or the kind of goal of yoga, is to stop this kind of inner chatter, or, you know, the mind being sort of all over the place.
Which is where the stress and everything comes from, isn't it? The stuff that's going on in the head, you know, that constant, like you say, constant chatter, the fear, living in the past, living in the future. So maybe bringing ourselves into this present moment is the thing that actually makes us be able to see what is around us in that present moment.
Yeah, yeah, that's it, exactly. And yeah, because you were kind of, you said there, you know, living in the past, living in the future, blah, blah, blah. And this is what the majority, this is what we all probably do. A practice of something like yoga or meditation, what it does, because, and obviously it's, you know, a 1,000-year-old practice, is that it brings you into the present moment, you know, so through listening to the breath, paying attention to your body, what it feels like internally, you don't go anywhere else. Obviously there's times, like my own practice this morning, I was really distracted. The first 20 minutes were really good, and then the next 20 minutes was all over the place, and then I got through that, and then it got back again. But that's like everything, you know what I mean? There's ups and downs and ups and downs, but through practice, through repetition, you get better at the concentration, you get better at being present, you know, for that however long your practice is.
I think it's really good to practice all of this before tragedy strikes, because all of our lives are all up and down. You know, nobody has a blissful life from the second they're born to the moment they die. It is a journey of ups, downs, life lessons, loves, joys, pains. It is all of that. My massive lesson for the value of the breath was, you know, my son lost his breath, and that's the key, isn't it? It's like we put so much value on so many other things, and the one thing that we take for granted that we think we'll wake up in the morning and we'll still be able to do, and that is breathing. And so for me, you teaching me to focus on breath has really brought my awareness to that, and brings me to the present moment, and fills me with gratitude as well. Because you just think, I can still breathe, which means I can still live. What a gift.
So within the practice of yoga, we call it prana, and it means life energy. And so the practice of the asana is to develop the prana. So the life energy within your body will increase. And so, you know, through the practice of this deep breathing and the asanas and the movement, we can...
What's asana?
So sorry, asana is posture. Prana is breath, or this life energy. And so within the practice, whenever you combine the posture, the breath, and the movement, so that's the vinyasa, these three things, when they're linked together, that brings about the kind of holy trinity, I guess, of magical stuff, you know. And then on a deeper physical level, it's actually helping to kind of cleanse your like nervous system, and you're trying to unleash sort of blockages that are there and all of these things. So again, this is kind of, you know, deeper sort of philosophical levels of the yoga practice, but that's why we're doing, like, you know, you're doing twists, you're doing all this stuff with the spine, is to allow the energy, allow the prana to flow up and down your body.
So it's not just about getting fit or getting stronger or anything. It actually has that deeper spiritual and emotional meaning to it.
Yeah, yeah. It has nothing to do with getting fit.
So it's about, because that's what people think, that I'll do yoga to get fit. But actually, you do yoga to get emotionally strong and emotionally fit, I suppose.
Yeah, yeah, I guess. And I think, as you say, you know, it is maybe a way in is for the physical side of it, or, you know, to get stronger, to get fitter, to get healthier. But and I think it's the same for any physical practice is really good. Like, you know, running, going to the gym, lifting weights, anything, yeah, walking, anything physical will tend to release, you know, endorphins and make you feel really good and all of these things. But I think there is definitely something special with yoga, the fact that it combines the mind, the body and the breath to bring you into a different state of being. Essentially what it is bringing you into is an understanding that you, not to sound too hippie-ish, but like, are, there's a really great teacher, a guy called Mark Whitwell, who's Australian or New Zealander and studied with Krishnamacharya, who's the grandfather of modern yoga. And Mark Whitwell talks about, like, we are the wonder of the cosmos as humans. So you're experiencing the wonder of the universe and everything in the joy of being able to move your hand, being able to look, being able to experience the wind on your face, all of these things. You are perfect. You're the essence of everything. But that's like hidden probably so deep inside of all this other negative talk. And like, oh, I'm not good enough. I don't have enough money. I don't have this job. I don't do that. We, you know, this was taken away, blah, blah, blah. All this stuff is then, you know, compounded and somewhere deep inside, you probably are this perfect being of light. And then occasionally, you know, through a practice of yoga or meditation, you might experience that of like, wow, I feel amazing. Or I feel like there's no thoughts there. I just feel like happy, or I just feel this energy. And that for me is what yoga can sometimes give you. You know what I mean? This experience of beyond your physical, beyond your mind, beyond your concept of who I think Dave Kane is, or who, you know, we're more than that. You know what I mean? There's like a consciousness within us that is kind of deeper than this physical realm, I think.
And I'd say you're right. And certainly from my experience with grief is that when the loss is so severe, it actually strips you of all that you've just been talking about. It rips you right to the very core. And maybe that's why yoga and the breath is so valuable during that process, because it can get into the core more quickly, because it can help to bring the spiritual connection. I am a hippie, I don't mind saying that, but bringing you this spiritual connection, yeah. I haven't a year past losing Murray yet. Don't get me wrong, I miss him every second of every day. But this is about, what do you do when that happens? Well, what you do is your core's been stripped open, and then you find ways to heal. And yoga, I would say, and the breath is a really great way to start to heal without bringing back the nonsense, the egos, the fears, the worries, all that. To me, it gave me more of a root.
Yeah, and obviously, you know, you mentioned earlier, it took a huge amount of bravery for you to turn up on your mat. And that's what, you know, people say, it's brave to do it every day for years and years and years and years and years. Or, you know, in your instance, to come after this terrible tragedy, to even get on your mat. For me, that was like, wow, you're so brave to come here. So, you know, and I'd say to you sometimes in class, like, especially those first few times you came after Murray's passing, it was like, do what you can. And if you need to rest, then just rest. If you need to cry, then just do that. Just allow yourself, whatever happens on the mat, to be okay. And to do it in like a non-judgmental way. Like, that's the really difficult thing within yoga, is to not judge yourself while you're there. You know, again, it comes to this thing of like attachment and wanting things that maybe aren't there anymore, all of this stuff. If you kind of do the practice without any attachment, without any wanting, without any judgment, if you're just there within the breath, then the yoga is there. Then that's what yoga is. You know what I mean?
That's the ultimate being, isn't it?
Yeah, you can just, and then it's like, it's so freeing. It's so like liberating whenever you realize that. I remember, yeah, I experienced a couple of years ago, again, going through this injury thing one morning, practicing by myself. And I was like, you know, why am I still have this attachment to not being able to do certain postures? And it was like, I'm not doing this to show anyone that I can do it. You know, it's only me. So, and I was like, oh, I don't need that attachment anymore. And all of a sudden, when that went, I had this huge physical shift in the practice, and I started to get better. My back was better. I started to feel better. And now this is what my intention every time I practice is, to breathe and move with loving kindness, essentially. You know what I mean? It's like to actually yeah, to not fight against the fact that 44 years old and I'm older and all this, you know what I mean? I
can't. Be grateful of every day that you have. Dave, that's been a really beautiful conversation and I appreciate everything that you have done for me. So I asked you earlier for us to do some podcast extras and you said we'd go and do some breathing exercises and things like that, because I'm sure now people are wondering, well, what is a breathing exercise and what kind of yoga things should I be doing? If you want to join Dave and me doing those breathing exercises, then head over to the podcast extras at www.thegoodgriefconversation.com. I figured that if you are maybe driving the car or making the tea, then maybe breathing exercises is possibly not the safest thing for you to be doing right now. And it's much more comfortable by sitting down with your podcast extras and giving yourself the time in order to do the breathing exercises and get to learn them so that you can do them as and when you need them and when you do have the time. So a really special thank you to Dave for joining me today here on the Good Grief Conversation. I hope that you got a lot out of that and that maybe you'll start to introduce some yoga and breathing into your self-care. You see, self-care is really very important because you are the only person to do that. No one can breathe for you. No one can do yoga for you, though other people can encourage you to do these things. But at the end of the day, it's you who will be actually doing them and putting the effort into creating kind of a self-care routine. But it is very, very important during grief that we take care of ourselves. You see, there is the kind of self-care where you might be resting and watching TV, and this is important. Or you may make things, you know, this is also very important. I actually started knitting. I mean, I've been knitting for years, but I started knitting myself chunky jumpers because I wanted cuddles. I wanted to surround myself in this comfort and be able to be embraced. And for me, a chunky jumper was the kind of thing that was going to give me that little bit of extra love in a way, a self-care love. But you can also head out for walks and things like that. That's also part of self-care. And then there's the deeper self-care that will soothe your spirit, and that is with the breathing, the meditation and the yoga, and even walking on your own and walking slowly and taking in nature. That's another form of meditation and a form that I find really helpful for me that really soothes my spirit. So if you want to join Dave and I doing these breathing exercises, then head over to the podcast extras and come and join us in there. I'm sure that you'll find them really, really useful. I've also put in there some links to meditations that I found useful and some kind of meditation and relaxing apps as well. So you'll find lots of resources in there to help you and guide you. And the most important thing is to be taking care of yourself. You are the number one important person because you are the one on the transition. And if you are a friend of somebody who is grieving, then they are the number one. And what you can do is share this podcast with them and encourage them to be focusing on self-care and tell them how important they are. Now, my next guest is a girl again who reached out to me offering to help me. She's a parent herself and she has been through a bit of a challenge too, not with her children, but with other things in her life. And she discovered this technique called emotional freedom technique, known as EFT. And you may even have heard it of simply being called tapping. Now, I had heard of it before this happened, but I didn't have any experience of it. So Tracy reached out to me to share how this would help me. So I bring Tracy Barreto to you today so that she can teach you about tapping also and EFT and how that can help you to rebalance your life and bring some kind of stability so that you can start to create your future and see where that takes you. So let me introduce you now to Tracy Barreto. Tracy, welcome to the Good Grief Conversation. Thank you so much for giving me your time to join me here and help my listeners.
Thank you so much, Dana. I'm really pleased to be here and pleased to talk to you. Thank you.
The reason why I asked you onto this broadcast is because of the help that you gave to me at the time when I lost Murray, and for reaching out to me. You know, several people reached out to me at a time, you know, when grief has descended, then you can't really think for yourself. So I truly appreciate the fact that you reached towards me. It really meant a lot. And the way that you reached towards me was to share your knowledge and expertise of EFT, which is the tapping system. Now, I'd heard of it previously, but I'd never done it for myself. And so you introduced that to me during the grieving time, the dark period for me. So I just wanted to ask you, first of all, Tracy, what brought you into, you know, using this system for yourself? And, you know, what brought you to becoming the EFT expert that you are?
Well, I was training to be a transformational life coach. And after that training, I went into hypnotherapy with NLP, which is neuro-linguistic programming. And during the course, one of the modules, my teacher taught us how to use EFT with our clients, because sometimes in a session with a client, they can flood with emotion and become, can't deal with what's going on for them physiologically, emotionally, mentally. She taught us the technique and we had to practice it on ourselves. And although I wasn't at the stage then to actually do it with a client and teach, go through all the protocols of EFT, it was a very quick solution for a client in a session. If we needed to reduce the levels of stress or emotion or the anxiety or whatever was flooding them at that time, it could be sadness, it could be even anger or despair, it could be anything, but it's just a useful tool to help a client to reduce that emotion so that they can actually think more clearly and also have the comfort of knowing that those emotions and those feelings have been reduced significantly for them to continue on, if you like. And so that was how I was first introduced to it. And then once I'd finished my hypnotherapy course, I decided to learn more about it and I trained in EFT and followed that with matrix re-imprinting, which is another stage of EFT.
Yeah. And so where does it come from? Who discovered it and created it? And we'll come on to what it is in a moment, but what's the background of EFT?
The background is a chap called Roger Callahan in the 1980s. He discovered that certain meridian points could be tapped on to relieve. So when I say meridian points, sorry, I mean the Chinese meridian acupressure points, that they could be tapped on to relieve and clear specific emotions. And he developed protocols to deal with those specific emotions, which could have an impact on somebody's health or well-being. And it was a very, very elaborate, a very specific protocol that he created. And that was called TFT, Thought Field Therapy. And as he started training people, and another chap came along called Gary Craig, who's a Stanford qualified engineer, who was claimed to be a personal development coach. He simplified this, and in the 1990s, he came up with the idea that if he simplified the tapping sequences, he would be able to cover everything, even though it was a longer sequence of tapping on the meridian point, and therefore it would have some redundancy built in it. But it meant that all the points would be covered, and it would leave more attention towards the actual issue that was being focused upon instead of thinking where to tap or what thing. Does that make sense, or did I confuse things?
A little bit. Let's talk now more. What are these meridian points? What do the meridian points mean? So that maybe we can get our head around why we tap them.
So the meridian points that we use in EFT are...
Can I just stop you a second? What does meridian point mean?
Okay. It's a point on our body, a specific strategic point where Chinese medicine believes that the energy passes through our body through those points. And there are specific important points on our body that need to be tapped upon to release whatever's stuck in those points. I'm not an acupuncturist or an acupressurist, so I don't know in depth what the meridian points are. I just know that they exist.
So this tapping is kind of linked to understanding like acupuncture and things.
It's connected to all that Chinese medicine, acupuncture, acupressure, qigong.
So rather than having needles stuck in you, you can just tap yourself. It sounds so much better to
exactly.
me.
Exactly. And that's why I fell in love with EFT, because it's very portable. You can be anywhere and use it. So it's actually why I fell in love with it, is because it's a tool and a technique I can teach my clients, so that even outside the room that I'm in with them, that they can, whenever they're feeling flooded with a strong emotion that they can't see past or do anything with, that they can just simply reduce it by tapping on strategic points of their body. It's such an amazing technique. Really is.
Yeah. So let's come back to the meridian points and talk us through where they are and what they mean.
Oh, I don't know what they mean. I just know where they are.
Okay, so. Well, let's just stick with where they are.
Right. So we have the top point is at the top of the crown of the head. This is a major tapping point. We have the beginning of the eyebrow, the side of the eye, which the side of the eye relates to the vagus nerve. And then we have the under the eye. So we have three points around the orbit. So it's on the bone of around the eye.
So now for anyone who's listening right now, I will just say we are going to go and do a video that is in the Good Grief podcast extras, so people can sign up there and they'll be able to see where you're pointing and what you're doing. But for now, we're going to talk it through. So just let people imagine that they're tapping the top of the head, above their eyebrow, at the side of the eye, and then just underneath of the eye. Yeah, so that's as far as we've got. Great.
So after underneath the eye, there's below the nose and above the lip there, in that little dip that we have there.
Just underneath, like the middle of the nose, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, it's almost made for tapping. and then we have the dip in the chin,
okay,
just below the lip.
Area.
And then we have an area just under the collarbone. It's about 1 inch down. And your arm, but if you hold your arms out, it just reaches the right place.
It sits there comfortable, don't they? If you just put your arms not on your shoulders, but just across your chest, really. They just land, just to like you say, underneath the collarbone.
They land perfectly there. So you tap there. And that is also in respect of grief. It's also very close to the heart, which is where we feel all that sadness. So that is a very good place for grief, even just any time of the day. Watching TV, just sit there and tap that, lightly tapping, and it can really help. And after, under the collarbone, there's the, for ladies, the bra strap spot, which is, you look a little bit like an orangutan or something, tapping there.
So it's at the side of your body, isn't
it? It's at the side, yeah. So you just tap.
The orangutan pose.
I know that that area is the spleen in Chinese medicine. And then we have points on the hand and wrist. And these are really useful points because you can tap very discreetly in public using the points on the hand. So you tap first the wrist.
By the nail, at the side of the thumbnail.
And then the top of the thumb.
So the side of all the nails there when you just...
Yeah, and you tap through all your fingers there like that. And then once you've done a full round, so that's a round from the top of the head right round through to the little finger, you can actually press on this point here, which is called the gamut point, and it's between your wedding ring finger and your little finger there on your hand. If you just press there and take a few deep breaths, very soothing, and it kind of finishes the whole round. That's called one round. And so those are the points.
This is really good for grounding you back in this present moment.
Absolutely.
Because the pain comes and we start thinking, either thinking of the past or thinking of the future. And it's hard to halt the mind from doing that. But when we recognize that our mind is doing that, this is a wonderful technique for bringing you back to the present moment. I know when you and I spoke in the early days for me, and you taught me this technique, I found supermarkets were just so overwhelming. And for a lot of the time, other people would go and do my shopping for me. But there were times I had to go into them and I would be having anxiety attacks in the aisles. It was just too much for me. And it was your tapping that actually helped me to remain calm enough so that I could get what I needed and just get out of there. So thank you for that. And I didn't care. It was actually the top of the head that really helped me. And I didn't care what other people thought, that I was going around just tapping the top of my head. That wasn't the least of my problems. But that was really, really good. And like you say, with the hand, you can do it so discreetly. So you don't really need to do the whole round of it. You can do any of those tappings, can't you? That as and when you need them, when you feel that anxiety that comes up, it's like something's bubbling inside of you and you're like, oh my God. And then you can just do this tapping any of those points.
Absolutely.
I think it's brilliant.
Yeah.
Certainly, you know, like I say, in those really dark times, then just having that tool was really, really helpful. I can't thank you enough for reaching out to me, in fact.
Absolutely. And I'm so glad it has helped you since our sessions that we had. So
Tracy, we're now going to go over into the podcast extras.
Yeah.
And we're going to make a video of this so that we can show people. So anybody who would like to join us, then if you go to www.thegoodgriefconversation.com, then you can just sign up for the podcast extras and you will have this in there as one of your gifts from my guests. So Tracy, thank you so much for joining us on the Self-Care Good Grief Conversation. And it's been a real pleasure. And once again, thank you for everything that you do.
Thank you.
So Tracy.
Thank you, Jan.
Thank you so much. We'll head over now into the podcast extras. Weren't those guys inspiring and encouraging and offering some really great knowledge and information? Now, don't forget, you can come over to the Good Grief Conversation podcast extras and you can get even more of Tracy and Dave, plus all my other guests who come on to the Good Grief Conversation broadcast. Now, if you wish to contact Dave, he's actually at the moment doing online yoga classes, which I do every Saturday morning, and they are superb. So if you want to contact him, if you go onto Facebook and just search for Yoga Dave, you'll find all about Dave right there. And there will be things about his online classes too. But do connect with him because he is fantastic. And if you want any more information about Tracy, then you can find her on Facebook. Just search for Tracy Barreto, which is Tracy with an E. And Barreto is B-A-R-R-E-T-O. She also has a website, tracybarreto.com. So I hope you got a lot out of that. Now, the other thing that I want to just suggest is that if you would like to support this program and the work that I'm doing, then there are a few things that you could do. Well, first of all, you could tell all your friends and family to share, and you can share this link with them as well, which would be fantastic. And you can also join me over on social media and give us some of your love and with those hearts and likes and all that kind of stuff that happens on social media. You'll find us on Instagram, which is instagram.com, The Good Grief Conversation. And you'll find the same on Facebook. So it's facebook.com/ The Good Grief Conversation. Come over, give us your likes and shares, etc. Make contact. I'd love to hear from you. Now, if you would like to also support my work financially, then I've created a couple of options. And that is that when you subscribe to the podcast extras at thegoodgriefconversation.com, and you'll just scroll down and you'll see a bright yellow button, you click on that and that will take you through to the podcast extras. But I've put together a few options of how you could help. And one option is for the price of a paperback book. And the other option is for the price of a hardback book. The choice is entirely yours. It is down to what is affordable. Now, I also want all this content to be able to get to everybody. So even the people who can't afford to subscribe. So there is a free option as well. It's really important that everybody has access to all of this information. And of course, with the radio program at UK Health Radio, then these programs are always available at no cost whatsoever. So I hope that my guests today have inspired you to make some changes and help you with the growth that comes from grief. I am Janet Jones. I'm your host of The Good Grief Conversation here on UK Health Radio. I would also like to give my special thanks to John Metcalf for helping with the sound. Not sure what he really thought he was getting into. And my lovely friend Teo for his amazing soft music that backs up this program. I look forward to speaking to you next week with more inspiration, more love, and more wisdom. Be safe, be peaceful, be strong. Bye for now.